It's over 600 pages long, and it's just the executive summary of the Senate Intelligence Committee's report on CIA interrogation techniques. Predictably, the reaction has been utterly politicized. Some of the loudest voices have been those associated with the Bush administration, reducing the entire conversation to essentially anyone opposed to the use of torture must want the terrorists to win. And at the same time, there are plenty who seem to suspect those defending so-called enhanced interrogation as bordering on being brutal sadists. Well, neither of these cartoonish portrayals is accurate. After 9/11, many decisions were made out of panic and fear, not hate, and many of those decisions could have better reflected our national character without necessarily compromising our security. The most important questions for us are, what do these revelations mean in a shrinking world, and what do we do now? Joining me right at this moment is the Reverend Ron Stief, Executive Director of the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. Ron is a longtime friend. He is in an agency of extremely important influence. Ron, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Walton. Good to be here.
Let's start with a global perspective. In a global sense, what do you see as the most significant revelations in this report?
Well, there's really three things in the report. First of all, I think it puts to rest, for good, hopefully, and Senator McCain addressed this on the floor of the Senate as well as Senator Feinstein when they supported the release, that torture as an interrogation technique is absolutely and completely unreliable. And that gets to some of what you mentioned in your intro. The second thing, and this was not a report on the morality of torture, but in fact the conversation that it has sparked, again, with our president, with senators, with the media, and faith leaders across the country, is that torture is immoral. And we should find ways to make sure it never happens again. The third one is that the United States is admitting to doing something wrong and has committed, although the conclusions don't commit us to a path to permanently end torture, has at least admitted that we did something wrong and has committed to make that right for all the world to see.
Ron, is there any part of the report that the Campaign Against Torture is skeptical about?
Well, no, I don't think we're skeptical about anything. In fact, we fought hard to keep the redactions to a minimum, and there will be follow-up to find out exactly where the law was broken and how the law was broken. But by and large, we believe that it showed the horrors of torture. I mean, not that anybody wants to have to see that, but it showed that it was worse than we thought it was. And it also showed a real coming to terms with where the CIA intentionally lied to Congress, intentionally tried to cover this up. And so we were actually pleasantly surprised with what we found. We did not know that it would go to that extent on either of those issues.
Well, Ron, let's take on what seems to be the major criticism here right up front. Does the report put Americans at risk of torture to hostile forces, as some critics just insist it does?
Well, there has been the word from the very beginning of this debate that if we go out there and really show the world what we did, then they're going to strike back at us. And I actually believe the opposite, and I think those of us who are in the faith community have argued the opposite, that in fact, when you tell the truth, then the conversation with your friends and enemies goes to a different level. Now, we can't control what anyone does based on any action that the federal government does. All we can do is continue to preserve the integrity of the democracy that is the United States. As Senator McCain said, he said, this is not about the enemy. This is about us. It's about who we perceive ourselves to be. That's what we have control over. And that's why the torture report has been so important to the faith community, because It is a piece of our history that now has been put at a higher moral ground in terms of how we talk about torture, terrorism, you know, other parts of violence worldwide and what the U.S. role is in that.
Ron, talk, if you will, about the ethical and moral aspects of what's in the Senate Intelligence Committee's report.
I think the ethical way, the ethics argument that happened there, although they didn't cover the morality of torture, what they were trying to establish is, does the CIA have a right and a responsibility on behalf of, you know, the American people to be out there and torture? And I think, as I said, the right has been taken away. There is no right in torture. And so then what's left is, okay, well, if it's an immoral act, is it a responsible thing for them to be doing? And again, because it produces no evidence, you have no right or no responsibility to do that as the CIA. What that means as a moral category, if you will, is that this nation needs to get busy now, looking at President Obama's 2009 ban on torture, which is an executive order, and your listeners who know that through the recent actions on immigration will know that that is temporary. We need to make this permanent, and a couple of things can be done to make torture permanently banned from the anything that the CIA would ever do again in interrogations. We will be pursuing that in policy. This report lays the groundwork for that for next year.
Ron, I want to go from generality now to some very specific details. What does it do to the individuals involved and to a society as a whole when torture is practiced? We know something seems to be wrong with it. What's wrong?
Torture completely breaks down the individual who's tortured, and they are traumatized for life. We know that. We also know that many of those, as we've also heard with post-traumatic stress within the battlefield, many of those who do the torturing are also scarred for life. It also scars a society. And I think that's why these events happened years ago, and it's why the United States is still trying to come to terms with the fact that we did it. It has scarred our society. As Senator Feinstein said, it has put a stain on our reputation. That means a political leader who wasn't necessarily involved in any of the torture, but who was there for the conversations, has trauma over it as well. It is a societal issue. Now, I think religious congregations in past times of torture have had to look at themselves and say, what is our role? It is a mass trauma when a society chooses to torture over other means of trying to relate to the world.
Isn't it true, Ron, that we can legislate definitions, but we can't define away torture? We may by law make some things acceptable, but what may be acceptable by law in this realm is not acceptable morally and ethically.
Well, and that's right, and that's actually what the Bush administration tried to do, is tried to redefine torture by calling it enhanced interrogation techniques. Well, guess what? Nobody but a small inner circle, who's being vocal now, but I think that will fade away, nobody but that small group really thinks anything but torture happened. So we can take steps, and they're easy. They're steps that have been applied to the Army that we can say, give the International Committee of the Red Cross access to who's being interrogated. Set some humane standards for interrogation. Actually get the CIA out of the business of detention. They shouldn't have been in it in the first place. Those three things, we can legislate morality in a sense here. If we pass those three laws parts of a bill that may, you know, a rider to a bill that may come up next year, the CIA will no longer legally be able to torture, no matter what definition we'll put on certain techniques.
Ron, are you surprised at how polarized the nation is over this issue? It makes me wonder, is there room for common ground on this issue?
There ought to be, but there isn't yet. I believe that there's a path toward that. You asked me earlier what surprises in the report. Not much, but what has surprised me is how critics of the report have come out and said that this is a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. If you're on one side, if you're a Democrat, you believe that we shouldn't have done it. If you're a Republican, you believe we should have. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying. And I'm absolutely shocked by that response. And I think that what is going to have to happen is I believe that this has, you know, for us, it's in the middle of a huge moral debate, but maybe for Congress now, this will launch a bit of a moral debate. It's a huge moral issue of our time. It's recognized as such. And I think Congress has a lot of catching up to do, as do all those who say this is a partisan issue. It is anything but a partisan issue. Torture impacts you, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, mm-hmm. whatever. You are affected by torture.
Ron, tell our listeners how to follow the work of National Religious Campaign Against Torture and support it.
Well, what you would want to do is take a look at our website, and we have actions that can be taken up there. You can see some of our 300 members, member organizations from around the country that are part of our movement. It is a movement that has been going for almost a decade now. We have 70,000 members across the country, individual members, and you can go to tortureisamoralissue.org. www.tortureisamoralissue.org, and you will find ways that you can plug in, and we are asking people to write letters to the editor, pen op-eds, really make the beliefs of the religious community known that this is a moral issue and we have something to say about it. Make it known now.
The Reverend Ron Steef is Executive Director of the National Religious Campaign Against Torture, a membership organization of more than 325 religious and faith-based organizations committed to ending U.S.-sponsored torture. Previously, Ron served as the Executive Director of the Washington, D.C. office of the United Church of Christ. That's where we got to know each other. Ron, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I mean, this is the moment, and I want to thank you for how effectively you are doing that work and passionately inspiring people to make some changes. And thanks for taking time out from all of that to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Welton.